This is the Widgeter Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday, the 12th of April, 2024. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. May I introduce our readers for this week? Heather Bryant.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
Deborah Cranmer.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Peter Lydiard. So we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know anyone, someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. I'll give it to you again. 01962 861229. Now, as you listen to the recording, remember you can use the buttons on the box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, apart from using the memory stick in the box provided, you can also, of course, load it onto your own device. And you can access the weekly recordings of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. You just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order with the most recent first. You can hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on Awa's Community Radio every Saturday at 5pm. That's on the DAB channel. And you can listen to us reading this news as a podcast via the Hampshire Chronicle website. So we start off with our usual headline stories. The first, which Heather will be reading, is car parks near station are among the UK's priciest. Heather, please.
Car parks near Winchester's railway station have been named as some of the most expensive in the UK. A study conducted by Moneybarn delved into the parking costs at the busiest stations across the UK for an 8-hour stay during weekdays, to determine the most expensive places to park for commuters. Winchester Railway Station was the ninth most expensive, with nearby car parks in Gladstone Street and Tower Street, both run by the council, costing £17 for 8 hours parking, the research said. A car park run by South Western Railway at Winchester Railway Station in Stockbridge Road was cheaper for the day, but still costs commuters £9.90. Winchester offers connecting links to London, nearby towns and much of the south. The station is a key transport hub for both commuters and travellers, serving more than 2.9 million visitors in 2022. A Chronicle reporter chatted to commuters in the area on Tuesday, March the 26th, to see what they thought. Ian Hughes, 43, from Winchester, said, "I think it's astronomical. No wonder people look for alternatives when it comes to their commutes or where they have to park. If you're commuting on that cost, a train ticket, and add a train ticket every day, you're spending the best part of £150 a week solely on getting there." Winchester resident Tricia Brown, 28, was shocked. She said, "To be honest, I'm actually surprised it's not higher. Parking in any city centre always brings high costs with it, and I expect that there are others in the area and spread around Hampshire that would make this car park cheap in comparison." The most expensive railway station car park in the UK is Oxford, with 8 hours of parking costing non-rail users £31.50, although rail users could access a cheaper fare. Also on the list was Reading, which came in number 5 on the list at a price of £21 for 8-hour parking. Moneybarn is a member of the Finance and Leasing Association, of the official trade organisation of the motor finance industry. Moneybarn's list of the busiest train stations in the UK was taken from the Office of Rail Regulations' estimates of station usage, and the parking prices for each railway station taken from each train station's website, or Parkopedia, when prices could not be found on the website. National car parks was also used for some train stations. Parking prices were taken for an 8-hour stay between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on a Monday, with the data accurate as of February 8th, 2024.
Thank you, Heather. Richard, apparently people are fighting over homes.
More than 80 of them, in fact, right, Peter, are planning to... fighting a plan, yes. More than 80 people are battling plans for three new homes on a suburban site in Winchester. Orchard Homes has applied for the properties, which will replace the current house in Downside Road, Week. The scheme has received 84 objections and will be decided by the City Council Planning Committee on Wednesday, April the 17th. The proposal was initially for four homes, but the developer has reduced it to three. Reasons for objections including fears of overdevelopment and traffic issues. Councillor Kelsey Learney, who represents the St Barnabas ward, said, "Downside Road is very well used by pedestrians travelling between local services and the upper part of Teg Down, with very low levels of traffic, providing a safe and attractive walking route. The front homes are much closer to the street, and the loss of trees on the site will create an urban rather than semi-rural feel. These houses are very large but have relatively small amounts of amenity space, impacting on the retention of trees and biodiversity on the site. The developer failed to engage with local people prior to application. In discussions with local residents, it's clear that the opportunity has been missed to bring forward a development which would fit in and be acceptable to the neighbourhood." John Rackham of Grovelands Road said, "The revised plan for three buildings is still an overdevelopment of the site. It represents a housing density which is much greater than others in the vicinity. Development should only allow for two new buildings." Rebecca Denny of Sawyers Close said, "The properties, particularly plots 1 and 2, are very close to the site boundary and will overlook the private gardens and properties along Sawyers Close, some of which are bungalows, and will be significantly impacted by a loss of privacy." The planning officer's report said, "Amended plans were submitted, reducing the number of proposed units from four down to three and reducing the overall height, but incorporating a slight enlargement in footprint. The proposed development would, in its amended form, reflect the scale and pattern of development on the area and would not give rise to adverse impacts upon local amenity, highway safety, ecology or trees, and it is therefore recommended that planning permission should be granted."
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, a college extension for the ladies.
Indeed, for new girl students. Winchester College wants to extend its boathouse by the River Itchen to accommodate its new female students. Mark Rides, assistant works bursar at the college, submitted a planning application which includes the removal of two trees. The college, which charges more than £49,000 per year, started admitting girls to the sixth form as day students in September 2022. This means facilities at the boathouse in Domham Road, Wharf Hill, have to be extended to provide showers and changing rooms. The plans include the removal of an ash and a sycamore, both of which are said to be in poor condition. A hedgerow will be planted on the northern boundary to replace them. No objections or supporting comments had been submitted by Monday, April the 1st. Should the scheme be permitted, construction work is estimated to take place over July and August. A planning statement to the City Council said, "The boathouse extension has been designed to match the appearance of the existing 1930s boathouse, with a reduced roof height compared to the existing, to be more visually recessive. Therefore, the extension is expected to complement the landscape and heritage value of the surrounding area, including the adjacent South Downs National Park. To compensate for the removal of two trees at the site, the college will plant a managed hedgerow along the northern boundary, consisting of a mix of native species such as dog rose, hawthorn, hazel, crabapple and dogwood. The ash is showing evidence of ash dieback and therefore has an unknown life expectancy, while the sycamore is suppressed with ivy and etiolated. The extension will ensure the long-term viability of the building. Surface water from the extension would be discharged to the main sewer. Overall, the proposal is considered consistent with the relevant policy. No other material considerations have been identified that would suggest that the proposed development in this location would be inappropriate, and the Council is therefore requested to grant planning consent for the proposed boathouse extension.
Right, thank you for that, Deborah. My story is headed Police Stop and Search Data. No, Police Stop and Search Data. Get it right. Black people in Winchester are 5.3 times more likely to be stopped by police, recent figures reveal. Winchester Police released stop and search data for the last 3 months of 2023. The police said the statistic had been reviewed by the scrutiny panel and no issues were reported. The total number of stops decreased from 205 between July and September to 195 between October and December. The overwhelming majority of stops were due to drugs, with 148 in total. Excuse me. The second highest was stolen goods, with 24. The others were offensive weapons, 11 going equipped, 7 criminal damage, 4 and firearms, 1. Winchester Chief Inspector Corian Bishop said the decrease in searches is likely to be down to Boomtown Festival over the summer period, when excess of 50,000 extra people come to Winchester for the festival. One of the district priorities for Winchester is drug-related harm, which is where officers are focusing most of their attention. The scrutiny panel have reviewed Winchester's statistics around disproportionality as well. No issues were reported. Now we move on to the death notices, starting with Heather, please.
Ayres, Malcolm Ayres, 19th of March.
Bruce of Salach, Vernon Bruce of Salach, nay William Powlett, peacefully after a short illness on the 22nd of March, aged 96.
Fenn, Nicholas Patrick Fenn, known as Nick, on the 29th of March at Mountbatten, Hampshire, aged 75.
Furness, Mary Ellen Furness, nay Cousins, 6th of April at Winchester Hospice.
Hudson, Caroline Ann Hudson, 14th of March at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital, aged 65.
Jones, Gillian Leslie Jones, nay Whedon, at home on the 20th of March after a short illness.
March, Joyce March, on the 22nd of March at home, aged 88.
Sibbeth, Christa Maria Sibbeth, nay Len, peacefully at Southampton General Hospital, 18th of March.
Todd, Alfred Todd, known as Alf, after a long illness, aged 89.
Wilson, Michael Wilson, known as Ochi, on the 25th of March at Winchester Hospice, aged 81.
Whittam, Alfred Lawrence Whittam, formerly of Cheriton Road, Winchester, on the 29th of March, aged 97.
Thank you. Now we move on to Christian comment, read by Heather, please.
Christian comment is headed, Easter makes us look for the light. Anyone who watches a certain TV quiz programme knows the specialised meaning of a pointless answer. If you asked 100 people to name items in a certain category, it's an answer that none of them would give. Therefore, pointless. If you're ever on the show and you are asked to name a book of the Bible, then I've got a hot tip for you. I think Baruch would be a winning answer. He was the scribe of Jeremiah, and his name means blessed. And if you think that all Bibles are the same, then I should warn you that they are not. and Baruch is not in all of them. It is deuterocanonical, if you want to investigate further. He's on my mind because a reading from Baruch comes up in the main Easter vigil service in Catholic churches every year, alongside many much better known and familiar readings from more famous books of the Bible. Baruch focuses on God's relationship with his people, and it has been described as a book of hope, which reveals the transformative power of trusting in God with sincere repentance. This is part of its message. Learn where there is prudence, where there is strength, where there is wisdom, so that you may also know where may be found length of days and life, where there is light for the eyes and peace. Isn't that lovely? Isn't it what we would all wish for one another? The Easter services at all our churches are full of beautiful scripture readings and music. It is the biggest festival of the year for Christians, and a time to celebrate and also to take stock and to look back on the history of the church. The Easter Vigil at St. Peter's in Winchester on Saturday night lasted more than 2.5 hours. Yes, it's a commitment, but it is a joyful and impressive one, a service that starts with a dark, empty church and then the lighting of a fire outside used to light the Paschal candle. Then the congregation processes into the church carrying candles and the light spreads through the church. Next comes a series of readings starting with Genesis and the creation of the world and going on through history, including Baruch, right through the resurrection of Christ, interspersed with the singing of psalms. We celebrate the risen Lord. During the service, there was an adult baptism, in many ways just like the baptism of a baby, though obviously the participant was making his own decisions and responses out loud. Much of it is the same, including the most marvellous phrase, one that always hits home and applies to anyone of any age who becomes a Christian. What the newly baptised person will walk always as a child of the light. There are many bad things going on in the world, and we can become fearful and sad about what the future holds. But Easter gives us the chance to renew ourselves and our lives, look forwards and upwards, and hope for the light. We are all children of the light, and we should try to remember that when we are particularly in need of help.
Thank you, Heather. Now we go on to letters to the editor. There are 12 letters this week in the Hampshire Chronicle, each on a different subject, if I'm correct. Can you read the first one, please, Richard?
Yes, this will be really popular. Mail in Order, it's entitled, and it comes from the Chief Customer Officer of the Royal Mail. At Royal Mail, we consider it a privilege to serve every household and business in the UK. For 500 years, our posties have walked up and down our streets day in, day out, deliver for our customers. But the way we all post has changed dramatically. In 2004-05, we posted 20 billion letters. By 2022-23, that number had dropped to 7 billion. The average address now receives just 4 letters a week. As a result, Royal Mail is facing huge financial pressure. Last year, we lost £419 million. Without urgent reform, there is real risk that the one price goes anywhere, universal service, the legal requirement for Royal Mail to deliver to the UK's 32 million addresses 6 days a week, will not survive. We have published our proposal for how the universal service should change in a way that protects the things we know you value. The one price goes anywhere service to all parts of the UK. First class letters delivered daily, 6 days a week. The choice between a first class and second class letter service. Parcels delivered up to 7 days a week as currently. Our proposal also includes some vital changes to deliver a more efficient and financially sustainable service. As part of this, all non-first-class letter deliveries, second-class and bulk business mail, often used for letters such as bills and statements, would move to every other weekday. And we would like to add tracking to universal service parcels to reflect customer demand. We know how important it is to receive NHS letters, so we're also working with the NHS to explore options that could provide more reliability for time-sensitive medical letters. With reform, we would be able to invest in products and services we know you need and want. Services that will help you grow your business or stay connected to your loved ones. If we want to save the universal service, we have to change the universal service. We're doing everything we can to transform so that we can serve you better. And now we need Ofcom, the regulator, to do their bit and implement the change. Nick Landon, Chief Customer Officer, Royal Mail.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah.
And the next letter is from Ian Case, and he entitles it Joined Up. After 120 years of continuous education, Ampfield Primary School will soon close. The school's fate is almost certainly to become an expensive house in the Ampfield Conservation Area. The closure decision was made by one county councillor, whose expertise is not as an educationalist, but as a planning consultant. Despite many logical arguments to our MP, Caroline Noakes, she failed to oppose the closure. The reasons are puzzling. Ampfield Parish Council is no better. They agreed to the school's closure without even bothering to attend the public meeting of the school. Our elected representatives are ignoring the facts. Local demand for preschool and primary places substantially exceeds supply. Finally, the nearby oversubscribed Bright Horizons Nursery in Ampfield closed last week. Second, a planning application is expected for a Jehovah's Witness school on the highly unsuitable Pound Lane in Ampfield. Third, and despite demand from parents, both the nearby Timsbury and Lockerley playgroups have recently closed. Fourth, this week the government has extended financial help to families with two-year-olds, further increasing demand. Finally, Caroline Noakes has just reported that HCC could build a special needs school every year and still not meet the need. Oh, joined up thinking, never heard of it. Let's hope an educational academy can step in. Ian Case, Winchester Road, Ampfield.
Thank you, Deborah. The next letter is written by Paul Dix, and it's headed Fury at Vandals. Local residents in Alsford are furious and bewildered about recent attacks which have left their once attractive and peaceful town hurtfully damaged. Nighttime vandalism has taken place around the town, with the latest occurring at St John's Church, where the main public notice board of the church in the grounds was wrenched out of its base and badly damaged. The Easter crosses, which had been erected nearby, had been pulled out of the ground and thrown down. This came hard on the heels of many trees along much of Sun Lane being cut down by house builders. Local residents are complaining that the numbers of trees exceeded what was necessary in order to construct an access to the future industrial site, and has ruined the appearance of the road and destroyed the habitat for much wildlife. That was written by Paul Dix of Titchbourne Down, Alsford. Heather. Sorry.
This letter is entitled Being Kind, and it's from Paul Hickey. I have noticed a very common thing that young children love to do. Young children love to chase after pigeons, and this really scares and stresses them. It's not the young children's fault. They don't know that what they're doing is wrong. This is where parents can greatly help. When the parents see their young children chasing after pigeons, the parents should just calmly say to the young children, "Don't chase after the pigeons, it really scares and stresses them." Let's all be kinder to wildlife, be they young children, older children, teenagers, or adults. Wildlife is wonderful, and we need to look after these wonderful creatures that we share this planet with. Paul Hickey, Meadow Way, Badger Farm.
Thank you. Heather, Richard, please.
Alice Blakeway, please, please think again on statue. I am writing to endorse Brandon Taylor's excellent suggestion in last week's letters page, Chronicle, April the 4th, that the cathedral authority should move away from the profoundly lacklustre Hollywood design for the Austin statue in the close and adopt instead Robert Trescott's much more authentic, serious and meaningful design. Among its many strengths is, as Mr. Taylor points out, that it shows Jane Austen doing what she became famous for, actually writing. This celebrates her intensity of creative purpose with, it seems, the whole body driving the pen. Brilliant. Please, Winchester Cathedral, think again. Alice Blakeway, Egbert Road, Hyde, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, please.
This letter's from Stephen Stamford, and it's very short. Now that it's been confirmed the company's moving into the empty Debenham site, Winchester can be known as one of the top 10 takeaway venues in the country. Stephen Stamford, Bramshaw Close, Hairstock, Winchester.
Thank you. This letter is written by Bob Sprague and it's headed Out of Control. I live in a leafy suburb of Hiltingbury, which is managed by Eastleigh Borough Council, which we know has racked up debts which are frighteningly and seemingly uncontrollably high. We understand that the government has intervened to order the council to reduce this significant debt which has arisen from property investments. Their property portfolio includes the Aegeus Bowl. The council apparently owes well over £500 million, probably on its way to £1 billion by now, 45 times its core spending power. We have all been assured by the council leader that these extravagant investments are protecting essential public services. I beg to differ. The gutters in our local streets have not been swept since the autumn leaf fall, and the leaves have decomposed into a deep, rich soil in which earthworms thrive and drains are blocked. A local resident has actually taken it upon him or herself to utilise these germination beds, formerly known as gutters, to plant a row of spring flowers. Or perhaps they could also be used to plant peas and lettuces. They're certainly not functioning as gutters should. In some streets, weeds and wildflowers flourish naturally. I haven't seen a road sweeper in months. There has got to be a correlation between the failure of Eastleigh Borough Council to perform essential services and its struggle to manage its debt mountain. It comes to something when my wife and I, at the age of 80, had to spend a morning with shovel and stiff broom scraping up the mud and rotting leaves from outside our house, as we could wait no longer for official action because we take pride in the appearance of our property and surroundings. We filled an entire green bin with the muck we cleared and are paying the council to take away. This whole ridiculous scenario raises serious questions about local politicians and officers with no apparent accountability running up huge debts which they are incapable of managing. Investment is always a risk and, in this case, I fear, a gamble that has got out of control. That was written by Bob Sprague of Lakewood Road, Chandler's Ford. Heather, please.
This letter from Christopher Gordon is headed Swing Memorial. The suggestion of a memorial to the Captain Swing riots at their forthcoming bicentenary deserves serious follow-up. Edward Fennell's Chronicle letter, March 28th. There is time for a properly informed public debate about the form this might take and what would be an appropriate means of expression for remembering events of this kind in the 21st century. Next time round in Winchester, please can we avoid automatically falling for the tired old late Victorian trope of a statue of Greta Thunberg, Licorice, and Jane Austen. Hamo Thornycroft's Alfred the Great is a glorious example of this tradition at its apogee in 1901. but this form of celebration has surely now lost its normative appeal. There are compelling reasons why Holocaust memorials have favoured abstract solutions. Stories about our past should continue to inform our present, yet Winchester still lacks proper commemoration of the important local events of 1830, as it also does of the bloody assizes of Judge Jeffreys after the Battle of Sedgemoor in 1685. A memorial to the swing riots calls for something different to the representational style of a past era of great men, locked within its then political cultural structure. Mitchellover Parish Council and PCC, to their credit, in 2009 erected a memorial plaque commemorating the life of the young local agricultural labourer Henry Cook, hanged in Winchester for the apparent offence of knocking off William Baring of Northington's hat. The riots had a significant influence on the Whig government during the period of major domestic unrest and repression following the Napoleonic Wars. They helped generate the progressive mood that led on to the Great Reform Act of 1832 and the Slavery Abolition Act of 1833, the latter opposed by Bishop Charles Sumner, voting in the House of Lords en bloc with 25 other Anglican bishops. Christopher Gordon, former chairman, Hampshire Sculpture Trust and Hampshire County Arts Officer, 1977 to 86, Corns Close, Winchester.
Thank you, Heather. Richard, please.
Andy Smith is complaining about another traffic jam. We're constantly reminded that local authorities are short of cash. So what genius decided to spend money on redesigning the traffic flow on Clifton Terrace so that cars can no longer turn left onto Romsey Road? Apart from wasting taxpayers' money, this pushes yet more cars onto Stockbridge Road until Bolton Avenue. The result? Increased congestion and traffic pollution from stationary vehicles. Meanwhile, on the aforementioned Chilbolton Avenue, yet again we have delays from temporary traffic lights. Is this the most dug-up road in Hampshire? It wouldn't be so bad if the work was to repair the surface and remove the many potholes, but that would be too much to hope for. Instead, we have the spectacle of contractors working short days whilst causing maximum disruption to local residents. Once again, the council is playing a blinder. Andy Smith, take down Meads, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, please.
This letter is from Joe Watson. Help is in sight. Whilst Khalid Aziz is clearly very pleased with the outcome of his contact lens surgery at the cost of several thousand pounds, many of your readers living in these straitened times may feel the article misjudged and should be aware that it is incorrect regarding the NHS and ophthalmology. As a recent recipient of contact lens surgery on the NHS, your readers should also know that although complex lenses are not normally available, those fitted are perfectly adequate. One does not have to be purblind, as stated in the article, before treatment, and I was referred by my high street ophthalmologist in a timely manner, although I had been aware for some years that surgery would be required in due course. Age is not a factor, as I and a number of my peers have had surgery in their 80s. Joe Watson, Upper Brook Street, Winchester.
Thank you, Deborah. This letter is written by Chris Evans and it's headed Vote View. We had Flick Drummond as our MP a few years ago. But although I asked her on three separate occasions for help, she did absolutely nothing. She is the worst MP I have ever encountered, and I believe, if elected in, will do Winchester no good at all. Just calm down, Chris. All right, good. It's written by Chris Evans of Berkshire Close, Portsmouth. Devon, last letter, please.
This letter from Councillor Caroline Horrell is headed Twin Targets. I note the article in the Hampshire Chronicle on April 4th in which Councillor Todd advises his strong support for the reconsideration of the Sir John Moore Barracks as the site for the new hospital. The serious question residents need answering is what does that do to the status of the local plan, and where do the 900 new homes currently proposed for Sir John Moore go now? It is clearly not possible for the leader of the City Council to achieve both commitments, a hospital and 900 new homes on the same site. I, like many residents, would like to know which it is. Councillor Caroline Horrill, Conservative Group Leader, Winchester City Council.
Thank you, Heather. Now, if you have an opinion or subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836, or email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could write to the editor at 5 Applebrook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Now we move on to editorial comment read by Deborah, please.
No excuses not to go out and vote. The Hampshire Chronicle has always taken local politics seriously, stretching all the way back to when it was founded in 1772. Watching what goes on in committee rooms at Winchester City Council, Hampshire County Council, and at parish council level is a foundation stone of local reporting. Nowhere else can an interested member of the public get comprehensive, unbiased coverage of the halls of power. Over recent decades, the level of public apathy, even antipathy, has risen. There are numerous reasons, and we don't have the space to go into them here, save to say that social media has worsened the problem, where loud-mouthed cynics often seem to rule the roost. We report today on the decision of four councillors not to stand again. They are City Councillors Frank Pearson, Central Meon Valley Ward, twice a mayor, Michael Kern, Bishop's Waltham, Chris Edwards, St Michael Ward, Winchester, and County Councillor Hugh Lumby, Meon Valley Division. We salute them all. Anyone who puts themselves forward for election is not to be sneered at, but lauded for helping to keep democracy healthy. It's too easy for people who should have worked harder at school to cast aspersions. No one goes into local politics to get rich. They do it because they want to contribute to the debate and to improve the lives of local people. They are not motivated by the unfashionable concept of public service. They are motivated by the public service, sorry. And with that comes the need for everyone to recognise that and to vote. People too lazy to do so have no right to make any sort of criticism.
Thank you, Deborah. Now we come on to the opinion piece written this week by Kimberly Barber, who is the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle and other local newspapers. Can't remember how many she edits. I think it's about five. Right, so we'll start. Several of my titles have been following the water companies and reporting on the outrage as they pump sewage into our rivers. In and around Andover, the topic has been particularly rife. A 30-year high in water levels has led to pumping of wastewater into the River Test. Not only has the pumping of waste into this precious resource angered and appalled residents, the distribution from tankers has also upset the quiet village life. The issue has caught the attention of Crown star James Murray, whose presence at protests has helped promote the cause of a group called Activist Anglers. A change.org petition called on Southern Water to stop pumping wastewater into the river, and it has attracted more than 1,000 signatures in just more than 24 hours. Southern Water says it had been forced to dump the sewage to prevent it backing up into people's homes after its Fullerton wastewater works was overloaded. It says that it has been lining the network with a special sheath, and says it will be working to fix pipes with more than 500 homes in Kimpton, Thruxton, East Cholliston already being relined, but we might have to wait until 2030 to see the entire project completed, and is doing nothing illegal, current regulations allow water companies to discharge raw sewage during extreme rainfall. Well, nobody could argue that this has not been a pretty rubbish year so far weather-wise, with this month in particular being wet and miserable. Pressure on the network from bad weather may be one reason for this problem being arguably the worst it has ever been, but also pressure from new housing has not helped. As councils race to meet housing targets set by central government, it seems the rush to build new properties is overtaking the infrastructure. I am writing this piece from a holiday let in North Devon. Of course, it is Easter and school holidays, so we didn't really expect anything other than rain and wind. But Storm Kathleen has also swept in. Kathleen brought with her high winds, spectacular for watching waves crash around the shore, but not so great for a family holiday. Despite this, we have been braving the weather and making the most of being near the coast by going on long walks in the many beautiful beaches. A trip to Croyde yesterday, a glorious vast stretch of sand surrounded by sand dunes, was exhilarating and refreshing, but also eye-opening for all the wrong reasons. My young daughter wanted to go barefoot in the sand and paddle in the stream that runs into the sea. Yes, it was cold, but she didn't mind. She's only four. It's a simple pleasure, being able to feel the sand between your toes, and one that we've taken for granted countless times before. However, this time, with the backdrop of Southern Water's actions into the River Test weighing heavily on my mind, it was with great trepidation that we allowed her to take her shoes and socks off. We checked the app, Safer Seas and River Service, and could see all the alarming red across Storm Kathleen had brought to the UK coastline. Croyde thankfully had a green tick, meaning no recent sewage discharges, but all the neighbouring beaches had discharges within the last 24 hours. One further down the coast in Cornwall, Perranporth, even had an environmental agency warning of pollution. As we walked along Croyde Beach, it was clear to see that the storm had brought in with it loads of rubbish. As well as the standard driftwood and seaweed, broken plastic seems one of the main pollutants of this wonderful stretch. Of course, plastic in the sea is another problem entirely, but another alarming issue. However, it was when we reached the sea and we could see quite clearly the suds and sewage that we swiftly whipped our daughter's shoes back on. I left that beach feeling disappointed and saddened. Not only with South West Water for discharging raw sewage, but also with humankind, that we can be so disrespectful of our wonderful seas and rivers. Right, we now go on to Letter from Westminster, read by Heather, please.
This is Letter from Westminster by from Flick Drummond. The consultation on the location of a new £900 million hospital for central Hampshire has now ended. My hope is the preferred location at Junction 7 of the M3 will be confirmed. I would like to thank everyone who got involved and for the many messages I have received from people, including NHS staff, who understand what an improvement we will get to our healthcare from this new hospital, a centre of excellence, and how it will save lives. One alarming consequence of the debate about the new hospital is quite how many people seem to think the Royal Hampshire County Hospital will be closing. This is, of course, not true in the slightest, and I am wondering where such misinformation is coming from. For the avoidance of any doubt, Winchester's Hospital will remain open, with substantial services remaining at the site. My parliamentary bill to ensure homeschooled children are registered received its second reading in the House of Commons last month as it continues its path through Parliament and hopefully becomes law. The Children Not in Schools Registers, Support and Orders Private Members Bill has cross-party support, the support of local authorities, and I am seeking government support for it too. It proposes a duty on local authorities in England to maintain registers of children of compulsory school age who are not educated full-time at schools, as well as a duty on local authorities to provide support to home-educating families, should they request it. Importantly, it does nothing to infringe on parents' right to homeschool their children. Since the pandemic, more children than ever are being homeschooled. Around 81,000 are known to local authorities, but the actual figure is very likely to be much higher, hence the need for the register. Teachers, local authorities, charities and my colleagues have expressed concerns that not all children educated at home are being educated properly or having their needs met, and I share these concerns. Of course, many children are properly homeschooled, but I'm afraid it would be naive to think that it is all. And we need to know who they are to ensure that they are safe and getting the education they need. That we simply do not know the numbers is very alarming and totally unacceptable. Quite a few very important elections take place next month, and I would like to use this column to urge everyone to go and vote. Our democracy is important, and the local element of it underpins lots of our services, like waste disposal, many of our roads, schools and planning. We have city council elections, the election for the police and crime commissioner, a Hampshire County Council by-election for the Meon Valley ward, and parish council elections too. Please remember, everyone now needs to show photo ID to be able to vote. Free photo ID can be obtained from the council. If anyone doesn't have the wide range of accepted photo ID, like a passport, blue badge, defence identity card or driving licence. The County Council by-election is happening in Meon Valley because Councillor Hugh Lumby has had to stand down due to ill health. In his 3 years in the post, he has been a wonderful and steadfast champion for his ward, and I wish him and his family the very best. Flick Drummond MP, Member of Parliament for Meon Valley.
Thank you, Heather. Now we have a couple of items from Belgarum, which is an alternative look at the news. First from Richard, please.
Yes, Winchester Poetry Prize has been launched. Winchester Poetry Festival has announced the launch of its Winchester Poetry Prize for the 9th consecutive year. The festival is rechristening the Hampshire Prize as the Catherine Beavis Prize, acknowledging the rising poetic voice of Catherine Beavis in recent years. Claire Shaw will be deciding the winning poem. The winner will be awarded a year's tuition from the writing school and a cash prize of £150. The Poetry Prize accepts poems on any subject in any form or style. The winners will be announced on Saturday, October the 5th. For further details to enter, please visit the Winchester Poetry Festival website.
Thank you, Richard. And I've got the second piece from Belgarum. This is going to be a bit of a challenge because it is all about a photograph, which, of course, none of you can see. So let's have a go. A lot has changed in this photograph taken in around 1975. So it's an aerial view of the centre of Winchester. So it shows the Friars Gate General GP surgery in the centre right and the bus station. The doctor's surgery has been swept away to make way for a short term for a pop-up park. In the longer term, the area will be redeveloped in the Silver Hill, also known as the Central Winchester Regeneration, and for a short time known as Saxon Gate. Also in the photo is the bus depot building, dating from the 1930s, with the jagged roof line, and this was knocked down about 10 years ago to create a more space for the bus station. The station itself is likely to be removed for the redevelopment, being overseen by the Jigsaw Consortium. Coltsbury House is also likely to go. The former NHS office is currently being let as accommodation for public service workers. Some buildings have little change, including St John's Arms houses, that's the bottom left of the photograph. The council housing to the right of the picture is also unchanged. At the time of this photograph, the homes were relatively new, having replaced the brewery in Eastgate Street. the end of Belgarum, and we now have the new item called Curiosity Corner, which Deborah's going to read, please.
Missing cushion set to take its place, and it's written by Bruce Parker. There are many ways to consider a cathedral. You can visit it for purely spiritual reasons. You can admire its architecture, its stained glass, its sculpture, its bells. You can study the lives of its monks and bishops and deans. You can treat it as the social centrepiece of a city. But few stop to think about the cushions we sit on, the kneelers we pray on, and how they too might contribute, literally and figuratively, to the history of a cathedral. So wrote Tracy Chevalier in the Winchester Cathedral Annual Record about her 2018 novel, A Single Thread, a novel which followed her previous best-selling novel, Girl with a Pearl Earring. Tracy had visited Winchester some years previously with a view to setting her new novel in or around the cathedral, and had expected to concentrate on one of its better-known stories, Oliver Cromwell's soldiers using it for stables and throwing royal bones through the great west window, or diver William Walker heroically shoring up the sinking foundations. Instead, she was captivated by the huge collection of exquisitely embroidered cushions and kneelers in the cathedral's 14th century choir stalls. Over a period of 5 years in the early 1930s, under the direction of Louisa Pessel and her friend Sybil Blunt, hundreds of these embroidered items were produced. Miss Blunt was responsible for the designs, and in their entirety they formed a pictorial history of both the cathedral and the Diocese of Winchester. One of the cushions even depicts the famous Cunard liner Queen Mary, based in Southampton, and launched when the embroiderers were in the middle of their project. Nearly a century ago now, it was the first time any such project had been attempted by a British cathedral, but it is currently held to have influenced cathedral and church embroideries the world over, and is officially known as the Winchester style. More than 200 volunteers had put themselves forward to be trained for the stitching work. An appeal to fund the project partly led to the establishment of the Friends of the Cathedral by Dean Gordon Selwyn in 1931. A year after the publication of A Single Thread, Tracy Chevalier visited the office of the Winchester Friends in the Cathedral Close, after learning it was there that a complete set of original drawings were kept of the embroidery designs. To her astonishment, there was one important design among all the others which was never made into a finished cushion. The watercoloured design depicted the names of three most celebrated Hampshire women: Florence Nightingale, Jane Austen, and another writer, Charlotte Young. No one really knows why this one design was left out. Notes on the drawing, however, suggest there was some discussion about deleting Florence Nightingale from the cushion and substituting her name with Charles Kingsley, thereby creating a writer's cushion. At a Cathedral Friends event following her discovery, Ms. Chevalier said she'd always been surprised that Jane Austen didn't have a cushion in the cathedral, and thought it high time that the women's cushion was made to take its rightful place among Winchester's other precious embroideries. The so-called missing cushion was subsequently commissioned, with Miss Chevalier donating a significant sum to cover the cost of the work. In timely fashion, the small army of the present cathedral embroiderers have now finished the cushion ahead of next year's 250th anniversary of Jane Austen's birth. Today's embroiderers, or broderers, meet every Monday morning in a room in the Cathedral Close to carry out their painstakingly intricate work. Most of it involves the repair and renovation of important historic embroideries in the cathedral, but new commissions come in too, such as this latest cushion. Anna Diamond, who leads the cathedral broderers, said, 90 years on, the broderers were delighted to be asked to stitch another cushion from an unfinished design by Louisa Pessel. Margaret Bingham took on this project and has done an excellent piece of work. It's hoped the new cushion will be assigned to a stall in the cathedral at a special ceremony later this year.
Deborah, thank you very much. Actually, that was quite interesting. I didn't think it was going to be about sort of decorating a cushion, but there you go. Right, now we come on to looking at some things going on locally, which you might find interesting. On Thursday, the 18th of April, there's Art at St. Bart's. That's the 18th of April, St. Bartholomew's Church, King Alfred Place, Winchester, a series of fascinating and inspiring illustrated lectures by contemporary artists working in the ancient crafts of stone carving, stained glass and pottery, and begins with Simon Smith, Master Carver at St. Bartholomew's Church. Right, Friday the 19th, Collections Audit Open Day. Have you ever wondered what goes into looking after our stored museum collections? Do you want to make a meaningful impact and preserve our shared heritage? Here's your chance. Hampshire Cultural Trust, Chilcombe Lane, Winchester. Sunday the 21st, there's the Worthies Makers Market. That is at 10:30. This event is going from strength to strength. This wonderful venue, the Worthies Sports and Social Club. We offer tables for £10 each over two main rooms. What's next? Oh, Thursday the 25th, St. Catherine's Hill, Winchester. It's conservation and management. Join Bear Wolbecki, Nature Reserve Officer at Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust, as she explains why there are so many beautiful chalk downland butterflies to be found on this cherished, protected hill. Saturday the 27th, Hyde Plant Sale. Come along and enjoy choosing flowers, tomatoes, peppers, vegetables for your garden. And that is at... It doesn't say where it is. Just says Muscular Dystrophy, Monk's Road, Winchester. Oh, I see. Okay, right. Also on Saturday the 27th, Southampton Choral Society 80th Anniversary Concert in Chandlersford Methodist Church. That starts at 7:30. Sunday the 28th, Tom Ball. Tom Ball was a Britain's Got Talent finalist, and he announces his first headline Spring 2024 UK tour. And that comes to the Eastleigh Concord Club. Saturday the 4th of May, come and sing with Southern Voices. Do you enjoy singing? Would you like the chance to sing with one of Winchester's premier choirs? If so, this event is for you. Let us come and help us celebrate our 40th anniversary in style. That's St. Paul's Church in Winchester. And the last one is Tuesday the 7th of May, Winchester Film Society, War Pony. This is the start of their new season, where they have a selection of the best foreign and independent cinema. And that is shown in the Winchester Science Centre Planetarium, which must be an amazing experience inside this huge planetarium dome. Right, well, right, before we go on to items and general news, look at the lighting up times for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 6:15 and set again at about 7:30. Gosh, it's getting close to summertime. So we now go on to items of general news. Heather, can we have the first article, please?
Is headed Special Requirements on Menu. The Winchester food scene is undeniably jam-packed with tastes of cuisines from all corners of the world. But how do these local restaurants cater to those with dietary requirements? In the UK, approximately 2 million people are living with food allergies, while 14% class themselves as vegetarians. This accounts for a sizeable percentage of the population, meaning inclusivity and variety is a must on every menu. Some of the most popular dinner spots have been tried and tested as safe for food allergy sufferers, receiving primarily positive feedback. Turtle Bay, a Caribbean restaurant and bar in Drury Street, is described as having fantastic allergen-free offerings by food allergy blogger Lucy's Friendly Foods. The menu contains many plant-based alternatives to their classic dishes, such as a vegan jerk chicken and a vegan Caribbean curry katsu. Pizza spots certainly aren't few and far between on Winchester's High Street. Chain restaurants such as Pizza Express, Zizzy and Ask Italian have all gluten-free sections on their menus with replacements for almost all of their gluten-containing pizzas. Stable in the Square is a real hidden gem. The staff are comprehensive and well-educated on how to deal with food allergies and intolerances. No eggs, peanuts, tree nuts or sesame seeds are used in any of their dishes. These four allergens are some of the most common. A great proportion of allergy sufferers will benefit hugely from having a decreased risk of cross-contamination from other pizzas. Whilst it is evident Winchester has a great variety of safe options for these dietary requirements, it is important to always check with the restaurant prior to visiting for their most recently updated allergen information.
Thank you, Heather. Richard, please.
Well, now, this is entitled Beautiful Noise for Hospice, but I have to say it depends on your point of view whether you regard it as a beautiful noise. Neil Diamond fans are in for a treat as a beautiful noise show, a tribute to the icon, comes to the Theatre Royal Winchester on April the 19th. The show, part of a fundraiser for Winchester Hospice, celebrates more than five decades of Diamond's musical career, featuring classics like Love on the Rocks and Sweet Caroline, and saluting his work from the Bill Building to the Jazz Singer. The internationally acclaimed production hails from London's West End. Star of the show is Fisher Stevens, joined by a cast of professional musicians and singers who wowed crowds at the Lyric Theatre on London's Shaftesbury Avenue. A lifelong lover of Neil Diamond, Fisher Stevens has toured the world as a performer and said, "I'm supported by an experienced band and backing singers who are all as passionate about Neil Diamond as I am." This one-night special is raising funds for Winchester Hospice, the charity offering specialist palliative and end-of-life care for adults with life-limiting illnesses who live in Winchester and nearby areas. At Beautiful Noises at Theatre Royal Winchester on Friday, April the 19th at 7:30 p.m.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, please.
Homelessness Charities plans for more rooms. A Winchester homelessness charity has submitted plans to create three new rooms within its existing facility. Trinity Winchester wants the new residential rooms at Bradbury View in Derngate. This comes after the charity said it also wants to develop five modular buildings called Z-Pods on a separate parcel of land in the area next year. The five modular buildings would serve as a form of move-on housing, halfway between supported and fully unsupported living. By Thursday, March the 28th, the application submitted by Trinity Winchester Chief Executive Sue McKenna had received no public comments in support or objection. The application's planning statement said, "The proposed changes within this application include internal alterations to accommodate three new residential units, minor adjustments to the west elevation to incorporate three new doors, and the addition of ramped access. Trinity Winchester is a locally based charity that addresses the effects of homelessness and vulnerability through its many drop-in services. The existing two-storey building was constructed in May 2009. An extension was granted permission in 2019 and subsequently completed to provide 11 new residential units. The building is not listed and it's not within a conservation area. The trees on the site will not be affected by the development. This application aims to enhance the capabilities of the existing Trinity building, enabling it to address the current demands faced by the charity. The carefully considered amendments to the west elevation ensure that the visual appearance of the existing envelope remains contemporary and consistent with the original designs. The new rooms will be created by removing three existing windows and one double door. In their place, three new aluminium external glazed doors with glazed side screens will be installed. The planning statement says the internal reconfiguration primarily follows the existing walls to define each residential unit. New internal walls have been proposed to create ensuite facilities for each unit and to accommodate a much needed new residential space to support the work of the charity. New paved ramp access has been proposed externally for two of the residential units to facilitate easy wheelchair access, while room 01 will continue to benefit from the existing staircase.
Thank you, Deborah. Bypass is headed shoplifting crackdown. Following a crackdown on shoplifting in Hampshire, there has been a 155% increase in outcomes for shoplifters in Winchester. From April 2023 to February 2024, 547 shoplifting crimes in Winchester were reported to the police, an 11.9% increase from the last performance year. Though outcomes came from less than half of the reports, at 235, this was still a 155% improvement and nearly double the county average of an 83.3% increase in outcomes for victims. Chief Constable Scott Chilton said, "It is not acceptable for retail staff to come to work and fear criminality, antisocial behaviour or violence. If left unchecked, we know that retail crime can put shops out of business, causing people to lose their jobs and lead to a deterioration in the local area. The increase in reports shows that the business community now has more confidence to report incidents to us because we will take action. All reasonable lines of inquiry will be pursued to identify offenders, secure available evidence, seek to recover property, and ensure witnesses are identified and interviewed." Operation Stop All, which is tackling the most prolific retail offenders by working with the business community to gather evidence on repeat retail crime offenders, was run as a pilot in Portsmouth. Some 248 offences have been reported. 10 offenders have been charged with 176 offences, and there are currently 5 individuals under investigation for another 72 offences. This operation is now being launched force-wide. Heather, please.
This is a letter of a warning for drivers about the number of deer on our roads. More than 450 deer were hit by vehicles on Hampshire roads last year, according to figures released by Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary. The police force revealed the statistics, which saw 114 call-outs for its humane animal dispatch volunteers, as it warned motorists to watch out for the animals. According to the British Deer Society, it's estimated that more than 40,000 deer are killed on UK roads each year, but it is feared that this figure may well be nearer 74,000, as many incidents go unreported. The Society said that deer-vehicle collisions, DVC, present one of the main causes of mortality among wild deer populations in the UK. A high proportion of deer hit by cars are not killed outright. Many must be put down at the roadside, while others escape to die later of their injuries. Yearly, the incidents cause substantial damage to cars and numerous human injuries and fatalities. In 2023, Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary recorded a total of 457 collisions involving deer. Data shows that deer collision reports peaked in November, with the second highest month being May.
20th birthday food bank vow. A director of a Winchester food bank has promised the organisation will help as many people in need as possible as it marks its 20th anniversary. The pledge comes as the volume of donations has begun to slow down. Leonie Marney of Winchester Basics Bank, founded in 2004, said, "In an ideal world, we would not be here, but we can't not be here, and we will help everyone who needs it." According to Miss Marney, the charity, which operates four food hubs across the city, as well as a large storage facility in Winnell, is continuing to see a high number of clients accessing its services. However, she has said the number of donations has begun to slow, and the charity needs to spend around £1,000 a month to make sure it has enough food to give out. She said, "What the government keeps saying is that the standard of living is improving to pre-COVID levels, but I think this cannot be further from the truth. The message is we need the community to understand that we need help and support. We're grateful to the schools and churches who donate, and we want to say thank you so much to everyone who volunteers. But it's important people recognise that we still need more help. People might think this is an affluent area and think it's not bad here, but it is. The demand is going up." The charity has recently completed its Easter holiday lunch scheme, providing food to 248 children across the Winchester district. This is an increase from the 152 who were provided lunch last year. The main way the food bank is accessed is by clients using vouchers issued by agencies such as Winchester City Council, Trinity, or Citizens Advice. These vouchers entitle them to one shop at the basic bank, where they can receive 5 days' worth of food for however many people make up their family group. According to Winchester Basics Bank, in the first 3 months of 2024, 845 vouchers have been used, with nearly 2,000 people receiving food. This is in contrast to 2023, where a total of nearly 3,000 vouchers were used in the whole year, with over 8,000 people receiving 5 days' worth of food. Angus Kirk, the operations manager for the food bank, said, "Everyone's feeling the pinch, so we're trying to help out everyone as much as we can." More information about Winchester Basics Bank can be found on its website.
Richard, Deborah, please.
Cathedral passageway to shut. A popular access route at Winchester Cathedral is closing for essential maintenance. Curl's Passage, which links the inner and outer close, will close from April the 15th to the 19th for essential work, cleaning and scaffolding installation by cathedral masons. There will be a diversion through the cathedral for people to access the city centre from the inner close and vice versa. The stonemasons will be undertaking conservation work on the windows and surrounding stonework between two flying buttresses. This will be the first of such projects as they move eastward along the south side of the nave over the coming years. There will also be conservation of the medieval stained glass by a specialist contractor. The closure timings are April the 15th and 16th, 9 in the morning until 4:30 in the afternoon, April the 17th, 11 in the morning until 4:30, April the 18th, 9 in the morning until 12 noon, and April the 19th, 12 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Thank you, Deborah. My piece is headed, "Bereavement Charity Says Get In Touch." A charity that helps people cope with grief after they have lost someone they love has urged others in the same situation to get in touch. Winchester Bereavement Support has been offering a free service to those bereaved in and around the Winchester area for more than 40 years. Rosemary Humpage from the charity said, "Trained and dedicated volunteer members offer both home visits and phone contact with clients in the district. We offer a completely impartial and confidential listening service to all, and we are here to help people through their time of grief." Heather, please.
This is headed, "Windmill Closes as Trust Leaves After Loss of Aid." Burselden Windmill has closed to the public after the County Council approved Hampshire Cultural Trust's plan. The Trust notified the County Council it wanted to withdraw from Burselden Windmill, just off Junction 8 of the M27, between Southampton and Portsmouth, in September 2023. The notice period ended on March 31, 2024. In 2014, Hampshire County Council entered into a management and funding agreement with the Cultural Trust to transfer responsibility to providing the council's arts, museum and heritage services. Since 2014, the Cultural Trust has managed and operated the venue, offering guided tours about windmills and the country's milling history. A small shop provides a range of gift items and refreshments. In February 23, Eastleigh Borough Council terminated its funding agreement with the Cultural Trust for the Grade 2 listed building, which has been a working windmill and heritage attraction since the 1990s. The termination became effective in August 23, when financial support was withdrawn. In August 23, the Trust asked the County Council if it could end operations at Burselden Mill due to financial difficulties following the funding withdrawal. On September 25, 23, Hampshire County Council leader and executive member for Hampshire 2050 and Corporate Services agreed to the plans. The Council's Commercial Transfer Agreement, CTA, said that if operations ended, it would be necessary to deal with the items within the property that were transferred to the Cultural Trust in 2014. The Council may request that the items be transferred to the Council or a new provider of operations. On site, 26 historic objects associated with the social history of 19th and 20th century farming life are displayed. Of those, 11 are accessioned items, an object formerly accepted into the museum collection, and 15 are handling objects, historical objects or replicas that do not meet the criteria of the collection development policy. The County Council has approved the September plan and addresses all council concerns. The report said that the Council accepts the future course of action suggested by the Cultural Trust in connection with the venue closure, including management of accession items, handling objects and other assets. Despite the Cultural Trust's efforts to keep the windmill open by diversifying revenue through grants, donations or commercial opportunities since 2015, a report said it would not be sufficient to support the financial viability of the venue.
Thank you, Heather. Richard, please.
City Muslims hold Ramadan reception at Hyde Street Base. The Winchester Muslim Cultural Association held a special reception for friends and neighbours in the newly acquired Winchester Islamic Centre in Hyde Street. More than 100 people attended the reception on Sunday, March the 31st, held during the month of Ramadan, the Muslim holy month of fasting and charitable giving. Guests included the Dean of Winchester and other church notables. Other guests included Hyde Street neighbours. People were welcomed and shown around the property, and the modest alterations carried out to make it suitable for congregational use. Councillor Gordon Smith said, "It's a great joy to be here and so good to see an old building coming back into use. It's wonderful for our community and our faiths to mix together, and it enriches us all." Ahmed Sabia Moon, chairman of the Winchester Muslim Cultural Association, said, "It's a great honour to host our friends and neighbours in this historic building, and we have the chance to thank you for your support and advice, and to thank the St Bartholomew's and the Hyde community for extending their friendship. We look forward to working together on many initiatives going forward." People were then invited to observe the breaking of the day-long fast with dates and water and the congregational evening prayer. This was followed by a communal dinner donated by restaurant Rim Jim in City Road. There was quite a lot of food left over, and it was donated to the Winchester Beacon and residents of the night shelter.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, please.
New artwork by Hendog appears. A new piece by Winchester's Banksy has been spotted in the city centre. Hen Dog, an anonymous graffiti artist, has painted a woman in a dress, in a dress and shawl outside the cabinet rooms on Jury Street opposite the ARC. Hendog took to Instagram to publish the latest piece titled Bapsi Banu on Monday, April the 8th. Followers of Hendog's account and users of the social media platform expressed their delight in the new piece of artwork. Bapsi Banu Parvi was an Indian socialite and aristocrat. In 1952, she married Henry Paulet, 16th Marquess of Winchester, and became the Marchioness of Winchester, thought to be the only Indian marchioness in history. Her husband, the Marquess, left Parvi within weeks of the marriage for his former fiancée, Eve Fleming, the mother of Ian Fleming, the James Bond author. The Marchioness lived for a short time in Hampshire, but after separating from her husband, left to live in London. After the death of her brother in 1985, the Marchioness returned to India and lived out the rest of her life there, dying in 1995. She bequeathed £600,000 to Winchester to be used to build a community centre on the grounds of Winchester Guildhall in her name. In June 2009, Winchester City Council refurbished and renamed a room in the Guildhall after Bapsi, with a huge portrait of her in her state robes, taking pride of place. A flood of comments followed the new piece of artwork on Hendog's Instagram account, with one user saying, "Saw it earlier today and loved it." Another user said, "Insane, might be one of my favourites." Another added, "Absolutely love this. Drove past it today and thought, that's cool. Looks like a Hendog." And there it is, confirmed right here. Cabinet Rooms owner Gary Whiter said, "We worked with Hendog on the piece and are absolutely thrilled with the end product. They're an artist whose work we admire and someone who's very invested in the Winchester community. We've known them for a while and wanted to bring something different to the Cabinet Rooms. Bapsi Banu has been a massive figure in Winchester and is someone who's done a lot for the city, with many benefiting from her kindness and generosity. So it seemed right to honour her in our own way. We're over the moon at how it has turned out." The mural is Hendog's second new piece in Winchester in 2024.
Thank you, Deborah. My piece is headed New Community Group Focused on Nature. More than 50 people turned up to hear more about setting up a community group focused on nature in Teg Down. The event was the first open meeting about nature recovery, Teg Down, Dean Lane, and gave a strong vote of support for setting up the group. Dean Close resident Simon Eden led the workshop on March the 23rd, explaining the vision behind the initiative and the ideas for a community-led programme. After sharing thoughts about the area, what people liked and disliked, people worked together to compile priority areas for action. They then voted for the proposals that were most interested them. High-scoring areas included recording and monitoring of local nature and wildlife, help with establishing nature-friendly gardens, sharing local knowledge and expertise, running a nature recovery community notice board. Simon and the core team of Teg Down and Dean Lane residents, Susie and Lex, and former city councillor and Weir are now pulling together all the material generated at the workshop. They will report back by mid-April to everyone who attended and to those who expressed interest but were unable to join, to suggest a start-up programme for the spring and summer. Winchester Town Forum supported this first event with a small grant. To access more support from the Council, Nature Recovery Teg Down Dean Lane will need to be formally constituted as a community group. The police.
An item about the impact of the pandemic. A professor from Oxford University, who lives in East Meon, is preparing to give a talk about the COVID pandemic and how life has changed since. Years after COVID-19 sent shockwaves through nearly every facet of society, It's seemingly back to business as usual for much of life. But some areas, life and work, seem to have changed fundamentally. Work practices may never be the same with working from home, at least for a part of the week, now the norm for many. One area which continues to gain momentum is the research on coronavirus and its impacts on health and public policy around infectious diseases. After a break for the winter months, Eastmeon Arts is restarting its programme of events with a talk by Trudy Lang, Professor of Global Health Research at Oxford University and resident of the village of Eastmeon. The intriguing title of the talk, which is due to take place in All Saints Church, is Has COVID Taught Us Anything? Around the World in 80 Outbreaks. Trudy has had a long and illustrious career, beginning in the pharmaceutical industry and Kenya, before moving to Oxford University, where she has been a professor since 2014, working in the field of infectious diseases. She was a part of a team of Oxford scientists developing clinical trials for therapeutics against Ebola in 2014. Her talk takes place on Saturday, the 28th of April, at 7 p.m. at All Saints Church.
Thank you, Heather. Richard?
This one for golfing enthusiasts, I guess. Holes in one at odds of 67 million to one. An amateur golfer told of his disbelief after hitting two holes in one in just one round.
Wow.
Defying odds of 67 million to one. Mike Wyatt, 57, has been celebrating after pulling off the incredibly rare achievement at his home course during a competition. The recently retired telecoms worker said the feat on Monday, April the 1st, was surreal, and he couldn't believe it. April the 1st. Mike hit two aces at Royal Winchester Golf Club, Hants. Mike's been a member of the historic club for 25 years, and he was playing with his partner Beverly Smith and friends John and Sheena Quinn in a club competition. He said he ended up with a bill of more than £100 after getting drinks for everyone in the clubhouse afterwards. The odds of a golfer getting two aces in one round are 67 million to one. And, yes, Mike said it's quite extraordinary. We were on a third hole. You could see the green and just about see the flag. It was about 185 yards. I hit it, and we were about 95% certain sure it went in. Sure enough, when we got there, it was in. We got to the 11th, and it was about 175 yards. The girls were having a good old chatter on the tee, and I said, "Are you finished now?" It was funny because one of them said, "I'd better hit a good shot now." I hit the ball, and we watched it land on the green a couple of bounces and go in the hole. I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. I kind of smiled and then got a big old hug from Bev. To have one, you're thinking, well, this is nice. I'm happy with that. But after the second goes in, I'm stunned. It was surreal. Mr. Wyatt from Romsey said he was obliged to buy everyone a drink. He pays off a handicap of three and said he has now leapfrogged partner Beverly, who has five holes in one.
Ooh, wow. Deborah.
Fire crews thanked. Hampshire County Council has thanked five fire crews after a potentially lethal incident at a Winchester care home. A blaze started at West Home Care Home in Harestock Road on Saturday, March the 30th at around 7:20 p.m. The County Council spokesman said, "Our thanks go to the fire crews who attended in response to a small incident at West Home Care Home. Fortunately, the immediate activation of the sprinkler system meant that there was very little damage and none of the residents or staff were injured. The home remains in operation as normal and repairs have been ordered for the affected area." The fire service spokesman said, "The control room immediately dispatched teams from Winchester, Eastleigh, Whitchurch and Basingstoke to the site of the fire. Fortunately, the building's sprinkler system was activated and successfully extinguished the flames before they could spread. Crews returned to their stations after receiving the stop message at 8 in the evening. The care home is owned by Hampshire County Council and will be one of seven to close over the next few years. West Home won't close until a new facility at Cornerways in Kingsworthy is opened.
Thank you, Deborah. 450 pounds raised at a community cafe. Wanston Community Cafe raised more than £450 when the Boers Project came to visit. The Boers Project, a farm-based charity that helps adults with learning difficulties, helped to raise a total of £480. James Kinnell from the Community Cafe said, "It was a fabulous morning, and as always, the great Kat and Scott from Boers could come along." Kat and our cafe volunteer Barbara manned the produce store in the foyer and raised £138.50 from sales of bird boxes, jams, cards and jewellery, all made by the Boers team, as well as eggs from the Boers chickens. Scott enjoyed his visit and did a fabulous job of spreading the word about Boers and helping pack the stall and the tables and chairs away. The Boers chocolate cake took centre stage on the cake counter and every slice was sold. It was delicious. Sales of cake and coffee, along with donations, raised £480 after expenses. The next Wanston Community Cafe will be at the Victoria Hall, Sutton Scotney, 9:30 to 12 noon on Wednesday, April the 17th. Funds will be raised and will be donated to the Citizens Advice Bureau. Heather, please.
Thomas on track for Heritage Railway visit. Thomas the Tank Engine is returning to the Watercress line for his only visit this year during May half term. From May the 25th to June the 2nd, children can experience a day out with Thomas, the bubble tour at the Heritage Railway. Travelling behind Thomas along the scenic route, meeting Sir Topham Hatt and interacting with the Sodor station's sweepers Rusty and Dusty will form the core of the event at Ropley Station. In 2024 there will be two new Rusty and Dusty outdoor entertainment shows featuring beloved characters such as Percy, Diesel and Toad. 2024 will also mark the debut appearance of Terence the Tractor. At the Bubble Tour, Thomas will don a bubbly decoration, providing young fans a photo opportunity alongside designated Thomas-themed selfie spots. Additional Thomas and Friends activities will be hosted in the play pod zones at Ropley and Alton, complete with story time sessions and giveaways for every child. Unlimited rides on the miniature railway and vintage fairground rides will add to the fun. Snacks will be available at Tea Junction in Ropley, along with a range of food and drink stalls. Visitors can enjoy their meals at the picnic area with a view of the South Downs. The Watercress Line's chief executive, Rebecca Daly, encourages fans to get their tickets early. A day out with Thomas, the Bubble Tour this May, half term, is your only chance to see Thomas and Friends this year. Guests can also book their ride with Thomas when they buy their tickets online.
Heather, Richard, please.
Call for more action against dumping of sewage. Winchester's Liberal Democrat election candidate says he's furious and is calling for tougher action against sewage dumping in the River Itchen. Danny Chambers is also calling for a ban on bonuses for water company bosses whose firms have dumped sewage into waterways. Mr. Chambers said, "Like many local people, I am furious with Southern Water. It's a complete scandal that filthy sewage is being pumped into Winchester's rivers and waterways. It beggars belief that Conservative MPs have allowed water companies to get away with this. Local people are in disbelief that Conservative politicians blocked tougher action on these disgraced firms. Our chalk streams are sites of special scientific interest because of their unique biodiversity. Polluting these rivers is environmental vandalism." The Liberal Democrats are calling for tougher action to stop sewage being dumped in local rivers, including replacing Ofwat with a regulator that has real teeth to clamp down on these polluting firms. We've also called for a ban on bonuses for water company Fat Cats, whose firms have pumped filth into our waterways. John Pennicud, the Director for Wastewater Operations at Southern Water, said, "Slashing the number of storm releases is a top priority for us and our customers. Last November, we announced our £1.5 billion storm overflow reduction plan, which will combine innovative engineering with nature-based solutions." Is a nature-based solution just letting it all go into the river?
Oh, could be, yes. Right, our last piece from Deborah, please.
Celebrations as church reopens after revamp. Villagers in Uslebury this week formally celebrated the reopening of their church after a four-month refurbishment project. St Andrew's Church was closed throughout the autumn of 2023 after a survey found major damage to roof timbers and ancient beams caused by Death Watch beetle and woodworm. The Death Watch beetle is a species of wood-boring beetle that can infest the structural timbers of old buildings. The larvae of Death Watch beetle weaken the structural timbers of a building by tunnelling through the beams. Once professional pest control experts had treated the woodwork, the church launched a full-scale redecoration project, which included replastering with a locally sourced specialist lime plaster. A team of 70 volunteers then set about redecorating the ancient Grade 1 listed building, reaching parts of the structure not seen in hundreds of years, including the roof timbers of the nave. The nave is the central open space with the main aisle and the pews for the congregation. The entire project costs £20,000 and is being supported by the National Churches Trust, where a grant application of £5,000 is pending. The Reverend Damon Draisley, vicar of the South Downs Gateway Benefice, which includes St Andrew's Church, said, "I'm very grateful to our friends in Uslebury who supported this project so enthusiastically. It was a marathon undertaking. However, the results are spectacular and will safeguard the fabric of the church for generations to come."
Thank you, Deborah. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. Before we go, just another reminder that if you have any problems with your recording, the contact number is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And will you please put the memory stick and the address label in the wallet when you have finished with it and return it to us as soon as possible. Well, thanks to all our support team for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. And, of course, many thanks to my readers, Heather.
Bye-bye.
Richard.
Goodbye.
Deborah,
goodbye.
Yes, and from me, Peter. Until the next time, goodbye.